Hello and welcome to our next PSC podcast. Today, I'm fortunate enough to be joined by Graham Hutchison, who leads our strategic advisory and regulatory practice in the UK, in the PSC UK office, which is also responsible for the European business. Welcome, Graham.
Hi, Tina. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. And yourself?
Oh, getting there.
Excellent. So today, we're going to have a little bit of a chat about offshore wind regulation in Australia. I know that Australia's national regulatory framework for offshore energy came into effect June of last year, 2022. Since then, there's been a lot of activity in the offshore wind sector, with domestic and international developers announcing projects regularly. And then obviously the Offshore Electricity Infrastructure Regulations Act, it seems to have been written to enable a degree of flexibility in how transmission assets are owned and operated. How do you see that evolving?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. I mean, the Act itself is actually quite well written in that it does provide, as you say, that degree of flexibility in how the regime may sort of play out, in that there is the option that the assets for transmission may be separated out from the offshore wind generator, or it may be that they're all enclosed in the same single sort of contract. So I think it's quite sensible by the government to kind of edge their bets a bit until sort of a preferred solution sort of comes out. I mean, the thing we do need to remember with all of this is that essentially, whichever way that you go, it has to be maintained and in terms of alignment with the current regulatory frameworks that you've got, in terms of, you know, essentially the RIT-T and elements and the wider price control structures that Australia operate against.
So what about some of that? Are there lessons that we can have from other countries and how best to tackle this evolution? Is there something that maybe best practice or just some great ideas for what's worked?
Well, there's varying different models that you can kind of apply if you wish to with this type of stuff. I mean, essentially the US version of this is the generator led lines, where effectively the generator or the offshore wind generator, it connects and owns the transmission assets up to the point of connection onto the US network. The other option that they seem to operate or have hypothetically is this a wider offshore transmission system operator, which kind of integrates more than one offshore wind farm together and dispatches as effectively a kind of offshore transmission system. So those probably would work quite well or quite elegantly with the Australian regulatory framework. The UK OFTO system effectively is another option, where the assets for transmission, offshore transmission assets, are for want of a better word, they're auctioned off to a separate OFTO, offshore transmission operator, that will own and operate those assets specifically. And they you have the offshore wind generator as a separate entity, the offshore transmission operator as a separate entity, and then the onshore transmission operator as a separate entity, and that works quite well and would work with the price control structures that Australia operates well with. It does have the advantage that from a capital point of view and things, that if for sake of argument the Australian government didn't want to have to, well, it basically provides a different option for financing if that was the way to go. The Irish currently are going through an alternative mechanism, where effectively the transmission operator for the onshore will own and operate those assets. They They own and operate the interconnectors as well, but they don't also own the wider onshore assets. So from a price control point of view, that probably wouldn't work too well in Australia. Mm-hmm. Simply because it has, you know, ultimately potential distortional elements on things like WACC and things that you maybe put yourself at risk with. And then you come to the kind of pan-European schemes, like these kind of hub points in Germany, off the coast of Germany and things like that, which is constrained predominantly because of the way that the geography, where the wind is, and then how you're trying to extract it and move it down into where the demand is. I wouldn't necessarily say that that's a particularly practical solution for Australia, given you have a very large circumference of island or continent, and let's face it, space isn't really a problem.
No.
In that regard.
Yeah, fair enough. Lots of different models to consider, definitely. And thanks for that. What are there impacts that we need to consider, that utilities need to consider, depending on how this all plays out?
Yeah, many. Probably the primary one is, again, how this all fits with the price control. So if you have a position where essentially the TSO takes ownership of these transmission assets, then they're going to have to look at the way that they put together the price control determinations and sort of that side of things as part of that. Either way, the transmission operators and transmission utilities are going to have to figure out and reinforce in order to enable this new flow of or infeed of power into the network. And so there is a large amount of reinforcement that would be required. I mean, on the plus side of things, given where the main load centers for Australia are going to be coastally driven, this is a fairly elegant solution in that you're not going to be having to reinforce large swaths of grid in internal to the country. The biggest issue that you find, and this is very much the same as the UK and other parts of Europe, is that the networks were originally designed for a very different purpose. They were designed for large thermal plant to dispatch power from one point, which may have been fairly remote, to the load center, so no one had to look at the big power stations and things like that. Obviously now we're in a slightly different position where you have these offshore wind farms, which may be out of sight effectively by being so far out to sea, but at the same time they are relatively locationally quite close to load centers potentially.
Wow, thank you for that. I really appreciate your time today and unpacking some of those key issues on offshore wind for us today. Thank you, Graham Hutchison from our PSC UK Strategic Advisory and Regulatory Team Lead. Thanks.
Thanks, Tina.